We watched that Wright Flyer replica try to get airborne yesterday in North Carolina at the centennial ceremonies for the birth of flight. Meanwhile, across the continent, in California's Mojave Desert, a band of figurative descendants of the Wright brothers were holding a ceremony of their own, launching a private spaceship. George Whitesides, a self-described space nut, was there to see it.
I was there on a rumor. The rumor that aviation pioneer Burt Rutan might test his brand new rocket vehicle, Spaceship One, on the 100th anniversary of powered flight. Rutan is best known for designing the Voyager, the first plane to fly around the world without refueling. But now he has set his sights higher, on the XPRIZE, a $10 million contest for the first private craft to take humans into space. Spaceship One is his entry. So at 6:30 a.m., I found myself on the flight line of the Mojave Airport, the home base of Rutan's company, shivering with a small band of fellow space buffs. Within an hour, our shivering was rewarded, and Spaceship One rolled regally out onto the tarmac. It is hard to describe the feeling of seeing this amazing craft. It's actually two crafts mated together. The carrier vehicle, dubbed the White Knight, looks like a Star Wars fighter, while Spaceship One, a pointed pod with stars painted on its nose, hangs underneath to be carried aloft to its designated release altitude. This beautiful, elegant system, its twin engines whistling with caged power, wheeled right past our observation station, and the small crowd let out a whoop. I think I even saw someone in the cockpit wave a thumbs-up sign out the window. We heard the magic words, "White Knight, you are cleared for takeoff," and the whine of the engines grew to a roar. And there, before my very eyes, a private spaceship took off into the morning sky. It felt like the moment that all the kids since Apollo had been waiting for, a personal spaceship made for you and me. We watched and waited as the craft ascended to 48,000 feet. At 8:15, we heard the radio again. Spaceship One release in 1 minute 30 seconds. We redoubled our efforts to peer through our binoculars, camcorders, zoom lenses. Release in 10 seconds. This was the real thing. Release in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And suddenly, there were two white ships in the blue sky. White Knight cruised out of the way, while Spaceship One seemed to hover for a moment in midair. Then, a flash, and a long tail of orange flame spouted downwards. Inside the craft, pilot Brian Binney had fired the rocket and pulled up the nose. Quicker than seemed possible, the craft leapt upwards, leaving behind a vertical column of white. 15 seconds later, and 20,000 feet higher, the flame disappeared and the test was over. Mr. Binney had topped out at 68,000 feet, and broken the sound barrier while he was at it. It was the first time that a small company had achieved that feat. As we waited for the craft to slowly glide its way back down to Earth, I thought of what it must have been like to watch Chuck Yeager's X-1 flight break the sound barrier over the same parched desert back in 1947. That was nearly 30 years before I was born, and my only memory of it isn't even real. It comes from the movie The Right Stuff. Now, finally, my generation had a memory, a real one, to call its own. The flight is something I will carry throughout my life. It is one of those select few stories that I look forward to repeating endlessly to my grandchildren when I am old and wizened, amazed by the personal spaceships that they take for granted and which I saw born yesterday on December 17, 2003.
George Whitesides is director of Permission to Dream, a space education project in Los Angeles funded by the Space Generation Foundation. This is Day to Day from NPR News.